The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 73 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sands, and welcome to episode 73 of The Catholics of Oz. It is so good to have you with us. And today I'm joined by my fully dosed sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you going?
I'm feeling very boosted today. Thank you very much. Had my COVID-19 booster shot the other day, and I am feeling it.
How's your arm feeling?
It's very painful, and it's amazing how the lymph nodes flare up and like the injection sites all inflamed and everything, but it's worth it to be protected.
That's You're just right. sneaking in a science segment in just then, weren't you?
Yeah, so we'll hear more about it later on.
Yeah. Have you noticed, I don't know, because my son is quite young, so have your kids just been bumping your arm by accident, but more often than normal because, you know, you've got a sore arm now. Do you notice that happens
a lot?
Totally.
They totally grab the sore arm more.
Yeah.
Yes. Without realizing. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't realize it. It's just like, it just seems to be a magnet for children to bump, hit, headbutt, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
I had that the other week.
Agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, just one of the things that happens in life, I guess, it can't be avoided.
No.
Yep. And also joining us, our good friend, Lino Sobol. Lino, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. It's great to be back. All three of us back. And
yes.
Your honorable mention to Jerry, too. And wow. Okay. So what is it now? Almost into March. Oh, my goodness, man. We almost finished February, guys.
Yeah,
oh,
by the time this podcast will be released in March. So, yes, that's right.
Oh, my goodness, man.
What happened?
Oh, I have no idea.
You know what? You just mentioned honorable mention to Jerry, our good friend Jared, who's been on the show with us before. Mm-hmm. I think we should because here's the backstory, everyone. So what's happening is today we're celebrating my son Alexander's fourth birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Yep. It was a week ago today, but we decided... because the barbecue I ordered has arrived now, we'd baptize my new barbecue and also have Alexander's birthday as well. So, you know, a couple of good reasons to get together. This barbecue, I thought, oh, maybe I'll get some help to put it together. So I called you, Lino, you and Jerry sent you a message, said, can you guys come over on, you know, Thursday night, help me put this barbecue together? So grateful you did, because as you could tell, especially with Jared's heroic effort, the screws that come with the barbecue are just a little bit larger than the holes.
Yeah.
And the idea, I guess, is that once they go in, they're not coming out. This barbecue is not falling to pieces at all. Mm. And so what did the booklet say? 35 minutes to put together.
35 minutes. Yeah.
Two and a half hours later, for three of us to
build this thing, Caroline, and everyone who's listening. Yeah.
How many people does it take to put a barbecue together?
At least three.
So, shout out to Jerry for lending his arms, because Jared was really getting the screws in those, like, and they're really awkward places too. It's like, how do you get a screwdriver in there? Anyway,
it was so crazy. I guess the barbecue really screwed us over. Hey, Lids.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, let's pray that today's listeners.
Yeah,
I'm sure today's barbecue will be a gas. Let's grow. Yeah.
In any case, I can't wait to have some barbecue.
Awesome. Yes.
It's going to be lit. All right. So let's hope it's a great barbecue today, because I haven't used it before. So prayers,
it should be okay.
Prayers made, fingers crossed. Mm. Yep. All right.
Definitely.
Sheep are dancing. Let's do it. All right. So before we get into today's show, we'd like to, first of all, if you're new, welcome. We hope you can subscribe to the show. If you are new to listening, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast player. We're also on Spotify now, which is awesome. So don't forget to give us, please, a 5-star rating and some positive feedback as well. Because when you do that, it tells the algorithms that The Catholics of Oz is worth listening to, which the three of us think it is. I'm sure more than three of us listen to it. And
yeah, and, true.
What? Yep.
No, all the mums out there. Yeah. All the mums. Yeah.
And we love bringing new people on board because that's what it's all about, is just building a bit of community and sharing some great content with you all. Don't forget that SQPN also hosts all of its shows on YouTube, including the Catholics of Oz. So just type SQPN into YouTube and then you can subscribe to all of the shows, including this one, and hit the bell to get new notifications when each episode is released. So let's get this show on the road, guys, and start with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Oh. Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
Sorry, Caroline. Sorry, my Siri just went off then. Sorry. Well, Siri doesn't get Lent yet, so Siri, I'm going to inform you today. So as we record, it's Saturday, and in a few days, it's going to be the beginning of Lent and Ash Wednesday. So I figure now is a good time for us to talk about Ash Wednesday and to talk about the season of Lent. And I hope your Ash Wednesdays all went well, because by the time this episode goes out, Ash Wednesday would have just passed. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of things that we can remember, the importance of this season, and make some reference to that. We'll talk about also the idea of giving things up and how to approach that and what it all means and why we even talk about giving things up and giving things, that, you know, the prayers, fasting, and almsgiving. So, Caroline and Lino, buckle up, because I'm about to share with you Pope Francis's 2022 message for Lent. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's go. All right. So Pope Francis, you know what I love? These messages get released early, which is great, because I wanted to talk about it in the podcast. And then last night, I think it was about 11 p.m., I found it. there was a Facebook Pope saying Pope Francis releases a message. Yeah. Thank you, Pope Francis. He must have. Yeah. I'm sure he reads my emails.
He does.
Yeah, he does. It's like, I thought you blocked him already. I told you to block this guy. All right. So it's a beautiful message, and it gets again to the heart of what Lent is all about. And we might think, oh, you know, it's the same thing every year. You know, what new could the Pope say? And in some ways, it's similar to previous messages, but there's also a unique spin in every one. So I wanted to share just some of the key points here and then share some practical things that follow. So Pope Francis says to the church and to the world, "Dear brothers and sisters, Lent is a favorable time for personal and communal renewal, as it leads us to the Paschal mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For our Lenten journey in 2022, we will do well to reflect on St. Paul's exhortation to the Galatians, 'Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest, if we do not give up.' So then, while we have the opportunity, let us all do good." And this is the theme of Pope Francis's Lenten message this year: let us not grow tired of doing good. And I think this is such an important message now, considering the issues around the world. And when I say issues around the world, whoever is listening, when you think of issues, you're going to think of something. And if we all made a list of the different issues around the world, there are quite a few. And I don't want to be negative and say the world is going bad. I don't actually believe that myself. However, we do face challenges, and we're being called to step up and do more in order to bring good into the world. And what good do I mean by that? Not just a vague notion of good, but I mean the goodness of God. How do we show the goodness of God in the world? We're all conduits of God's grace into the world. So let us not grow tired of doing good, or another way to say it is don't give up. Don't give up. So he talks about sowing and reaping using St. Paul's letter to the Galatians as his reference. And he said, in these words, the "let us not grow tired," St. Paul evokes the image of growing and reaping. So dear to Jesus, St. Paul speaks to us of a kairos, an opportune time for sowing goodness in view of a future harvest. What is this opportune time for us? Lent is certainly such an opportune time, but so is our entire existence, of which Lent is in some way an image. All too often in our lives, greed, pride, and the desire to possess, accumulate, and consume have the upper hand, as we see from the story of the foolish man in the gospel parable, who thought his life was safe and secure because of the abundant grain and goods he had stored in his barns. Lent invites us to conversion, to a change of mindset, so that life's truth and beauty may be found not so much in possessing as in giving, not so much in accumulating as in sowing and sharing goodness. And I'll pause there because I want to look at some things towards the end of this letter, but I might throw it out to the two of you first of all. So Pope Francis is saying that Lent is like a mini symbol of our entire lives, that entire life's journey. And he says the opportune time for conversion is during Lent, but it's also during our whole life as well. And then he talks about some of the conversions, you know, of assessing our lives to look at our greed, our pride, our desire to possess, accumulate, consume things, always have the upper hand, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to throw it out to the two of you, first of all, for your reflections on that. Caroline, what are your thoughts so far on what Pope Francis is saying here?
Yeah, I think he's right. Lent is a perfect opportunity to reflect on all of those. I mean, it's easy to forget as you're going through daily life, you know, I need another one of these. I want another one of these.
Yeah.
I am having an argument and I want to win because I'm better than that person. You know, all of that kind of thing. So I think it's a really good time to just step back for a minute and go, hang on, what maybe could I improve in myself and how can I more reflect Jesus and his teachings and, you know, the way that he says that, you know, we should live and consider others before ourselves and all of that thing. So I think, yeah, Pope Francis is 100% right with what he said there.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for that. And Lino, any thoughts?
Yeah, look, in our lives, greed and pride and desire to possess seems to be so abundant, but happening in the world, yeah. Mm. It just seems, it constantly happens every time we look at the news, we speak to people, or we're just seeing everywhere in the world. These things, greed, pride, and desire to possess, seems to just overcome our lives, yeah?
Yeah.
And we need to find within ourselves to, in Lent, for our faith, is to not to be too greedy, not to have too much pride, and not to desire to possess so many things. You know what I mean? And when Pope Francis is saying sowing and reaping, it makes so much sense for us. You know, we need to sow our hearts within ourselves and then reap the goodness within ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
And then with that, the lives of greed, pride, and desire won't be so dominant in our lives. You know what I mean, guys? I'm trying to be so psychological in sense with that. But I think for us in Lent, it's a great time to start that, or even that, not even, you know, where to start that, but even keep on going with our lives. And that's and that's the journey, and that's the struggle, but struggle to go through that, and to keep praying about that, and keep on going with it.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. That's great too. They're both really good reflections on what Pope Francis said. And the reason why I threw it to the two of you is because I'm encouraging anyone who's listening to do the same thing. Look at Pope Francis' words and put them as a mirror for your own life. You know, compare it to that. I wonder I was thinking about say advertising that, you know, that we see on TV.
Oh, there's so many of it.
It's all about possessing, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it's all about putting yourself first. Like, you're worth it. You should buy this and do this for you. Life is about you. You need this. You should get this. You should do this.
Yeah. And if it's not on television, when you walk through the shops or when you drive past billboards, it's very hard to avoid. And it does trip something in our minds, doesn't it? Because for a second, I find this, that for a second, in some instances, I consider the possibility. Like, it's like, you could be, you know, you could own this. And I'm like, stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, or you need this in your life. So, what if I, no, you know.
Exactly.
But there is this mentality that seems to be there in advertising. And I'm not having a go at people for advertising, whatever, but there's this mentality of accumulation. But the thing is, in a sense, I think if we give into that, we're doing exactly what the Pope is warning us against, and what St. Paul warns us against, about giving up. That because that's what I'd say that's what the giving up is about in this case, giving up on the goodness is it's not about saying, oh, it's all too hard, which might be one way to interpret it. But another way could be to say, I'm giving up because I found something that I think is better than doing good, which is owning this or trying to win this fight on Twitter or whatever else, you know, those kinds of things.
And what about, like, you know, for example, I've gone through a stage of like, okay, I've got so much stuff. Do I really need it?
Yes.
Like, no. Yeah. And, you know, even though it's a physical thing and a mental thing, I found that it turns into a spiritual thing because you've got all this stuff. You're going, hang on a minute. And you end up reflecting on what's the most important thing in life. Is it me having all this stuff or is it me concentrating on what I really need in life and what do I really need in life? And it turns out for me, happiness and my family and all of those things are what I really need in life, not an accumulation of things, you know? So I found now that you're saying all this, I'm just thinking, wow, you know, is really good for this kind of thing. Even though you're doing it physically, it does become a spiritual exercise.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is the key thing. I've always seen Lent as growing our closeness to God as well, recognizing our human condition, our failings, the things, you know, those things. Now, so it's easy to, you know, work on some failings, which might just be some of our attitudes. Yeah, okay, I need to be more positive. Or that's fine. Or I need to do this. But then it gets to the deeper work, the harder work of some of those things that you're talking about, such as, for example, trying to fight the impulse to want this or to need this and to recognize, yeah, do I need all this stuff? At the end of the day, that thing that looks awesome that I would really love to have, do I need it? Is it increasing my capacity to do good? Like God's goodness, I mean, is it increasing my capacity to do any of that? Does it take away from that? Is it giving up the good for something that I think is easy? I want to emphasize another paragraph in here. And Lino, Caroline and I were talking about this last week, when we talked about Word of God Sunday. And one of the things Pope Francis, surprise, surprise, talks about is listening to God's word. And he says here, the first to sow is God himself. So he talks about this idea of sowing and reaping, who with the great generosity continues to sow abundant seeds of goodness in our human family. During Lent, we are called to respond to God's gift by accepting his word, which is living and active. Regular listening to the word of God makes us open and docile to his working and bears fruit in our lives. This brings us great joy. Yet even more, it summons us to become God's co-workers. By making good use of the present time, we too can sow seeds of goodness. This call to sow goodness should not be seen as a burden, but a grace, whereby the Creator wishes us to be actively united with his own bountiful goodness. So what Pope Francis does here beautifully, I would say, is says that God is the one who sows first, who creates the opportunities for us first. Where do we find these opportunities of that God is giving us? By listening to God through Scripture. And now, I'm not going to say a lot about this because we did a big spiel on it in our previous episode, so you can go back to that. But God is living and active, as Pope Francis says, through Scripture, and he's sowing in us, giving us the ability through Scripture. How does God give us through Scripture? Because we align our hearts and our minds to God by understanding what God is like through Scripture. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What is Jesus challenging us to do now that we've heard his message through Scripture today? And we'll hear the same messages over our life again and again. I mean, I don't know how many times we've been smashed with the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, but not just that, but, you know, the same stories over and over again, because they deepen in our hearts every year, every time we open a Bible and read them again. So God is sowing in us when we are attentive to God's word. So I was really excited that Pope Francis spoke about Scripture after we'd been talking about it last week. I wanted to throw that in. Just a couple of other points. When my mouse comes back to life, there it is. I've got a battery-operated mouse, and sometimes it goes to sleep to save power, and it. Yep. Yeah. Come on, mouse, you need to do more good. So just a couple of other quick points as well that Pope Francis said. In this Let Us Not Grow Tired of Doing Good theme, he talked about two other things that I thought were really important, or three other things I should say, sorry. The first one is, let us not grow tired of praying. Jesus taught us to pray always without becoming weary. We need to pray because we need God. Thinking that we need nothing other than ourselves is a dangerous illusion. If the pandemic has heightened the awareness of our own personal and social fragility, may this Lent allow us to experience the consolation provided by faith in God, without whom we cannot stand firm. No one attains salvation alone, since we are all in the same boat amid the storms of history. And certainly no one reaches salvation without God, for only the Paschal mystery of Jesus triumphs over the dark waters of death. So he talks about this idea of praying, and why do we pray now? Let's talk about this, because sometimes we think, you know, it can look like, at least when we pray, that we're doing it out of some kind of obligation or duty to pray. And maybe we do have an obligation to pray, but why are we praying as well? What does it actually do? So let's keep in mind that prayer is a conversation. So we have all of our written prayers and our repetitive prayers, and these are good, but why are we doing them? Again, is it because it's 6 o'clock and every day at 6 o'clock I pray my rosary because I've made a habit out of it? Is it just that, or is it more? I'll give an example of the rosary. It can be dangerous. Hear me out carefully before I get lots of emails, right? It can be dangerous if it becomes simply a repetitive exercise. All right. So if it just becomes a robot automatic thing, when you're saying the words, but not actually focusing on what you're saying. Let's use an analogy. If I was having a conversation with a person and I was just saying words and not realizing what I was saying, you know, not conscious or engaged in what I'm saying, then what's the other person, you know, what's the other person getting out of it? So when I think of prayer, I think of throwing myself at God, all right? And what I mean by that is giving God everything. So it's like, you know, maybe sometimes if you come home, you know, from work at the end of the day and you talk about your day to someone else who's in the house, whether it's your spouse or whether it's a, you know, another family, you know how we offload our day? It's like, oh, this happened and this happened, or guess what else happened today? Well, that's prayer. That's what we're doing with God, is we're offering, you know, our day or our time, whatever it is, to God, not just doing it out of an obligation. Yeah, we are telling God about our day. Now, if you're doing this through the rosary, so think about what it is that you're actually saying. Contemplate the scripture or the events that you're, you know, in the decade of the rosary, and think about your life as well. So maybe it's Jesus being crucified, right? And that there's a whole lot of things about suffering and salvation. And maybe at that point, while you're praying your Hail Marys for that decade, you could be praying about your own salvation. You could be offering your own sufferings, asking God to comfort you in your sufferings as well. There's all of these things that we can add to our prayer. But we don't just offer God words, even the words of the Mass. They're not just words, you know, they're not like magic words in a spell book or something. They're words with intention, and they're leading our hearts and minds to speak to God in particular ways at different times of the Mass. So I think this thing about prayer and not growing tired of it is really important. So maybe use this season of Lent to renew your prayer. I'm rambling, so I'm just going to go through these last 2 points very quickly and we'll have some comments. But he also says, let us not grow tired of uprooting evil from our lives. May the corporal fasting to which Lent calls us fortify our spirit for the battle against sin. Let us not grow tired of asking for forgiveness in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, knowing that God never tires of forgiving, which is a phrase he's repeated many times, and I think is really important to remember at this time during Lent as well. So he says, let us not grow tired of fighting against concupiscence, which is basically, he says here, that weakness which induces us to selfishness and evil, and finds in the course of history a variety of ways to lure men and women into sin. One of these is addiction to the digital media. Boom. All right. That's right there. Which impoverishes human relationships. Lent is a time to resist these temptations and to cultivate instead a more integral form of human communication made up of authentic encounters face-to-face in person. So this is getting back to what it means to be a person, getting back to what it means to be one of God's followers. And lastly, this point here, let us not grow tired of doing good in active charity towards our neighbors. During this Lent, may we practice almsgiving and by giving joyfully. God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food enables each of us not only to have food to eat, but also to be generous in doing good to others. While it is true that we have our entire life to sow goodness, let us take special advantage of this Lenten season to care for those close to us and to reach out to our brothers and sisters who lie wounded along the path of life. That's a reference to the Good Samaritan, just saying. Lent is a favorable time to seek out and not to avoid those in need, to reach out and not to ignore those who need a sympathetic ear and a good word, to visit, not to abandon those who are lonely. Let us put into practice our call to do good to all and take time to love the poor and needy, those abandoned and rejected, those discriminated against and marginalized. And so what he's beautifully done in these three paragraphs for me is he's given us, again, a great summary of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer to deepen our relationship with God and to, you know, to speak to him more. Fasting for us to remove those things from ourselves that get in the way of our relationship with God. And giving, because we are, you know, our first episode, Lino, this year was called Faith into Action. And this is the idea. Those two steps prepare us to do the work that God is calling us to do. And that is authentic relationships with other people, because no one's going to hear the gospel unless we be the gospel as much as we possibly can, as imperfect as we are. Pope Francis says a lot more, and I really encourage people to read this letter and meditate upon it for the beginning of Lent. And if you have any other resources, those who are listening, if there's someone who wrote a great reflection for Lent, please share it with us, because we would love to get those out to the audience as well. But this was a very moving discussion of Lent for me. And I thought it's absolutely worth listening to, because it contains it's a little manual on how to be Catholic during Lent, I think. So I recommend it to everyone. With all those in mind, let's get some more thoughts. Caroline, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my head is thinking, I'm so busy, how am I going to do all this? But then I thought, you know, a good way to do it might be just to take a few minutes of quiet, like purposely go and take a few minutes of quiet, get a pen and paper and sit down and have a good thought. And everybody can do this right now. Who is somebody that you know would love a phone call from you, would love a text from you? You know, everybody knows someone who needs someone to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so easy to do, but it does such good, like immense good. Just a little text. Hi, how are you going? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Everybody's got someone in their lives right now that you can do that. Imagine if we all did that, what a difference it would make. How many people would be feeling happy and loved and reached out to at that moment?
Absolutely.
When you do it. Because you bought there is somebody that I can do that to today. So that's why I thought of that. And then, you know, in the other quiet time, get a pen and paper and write down things. What's been cluttering up my life? Who can I reach out to? Is there somebody, some charity that I can give something to? What do I not need in this time of Lent? What can I give up? Is there like a bad habit I've developed? Am I eating too much? Like, you know, it's not a weight thing, but it's a, you know, can I improve health? Like, Lent has so many benefits. When you do the physical, the spiritual follows. And I think that's a good part of it as well. So, I think that's just a simple practical thing that perhaps that we can do. It's not difficult. You just got to schedule in a bit of time, sit down and do it. And it take a few minutes, you know, doesn't take too much time. Because I think we can feel overwhelmed and feel a lot of pressure during Lent. You know, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. But it doesn't really have to be a huge thing that you do. And you don't have to like put on a sackcloth and sit in ashes. You know, you don't have to do all that. You can do small things that make a big difference.
Yeah. Excuse me while I put my sackcloth back. That's great. And I'll add one more reflection to that. It's easy for us to give up meat on Fridays during Lent. All right, we can do that, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe it's become a little bit too easy.
It's
and it
harder
doesn't mean
to give
much
up
anymore.
Chocolate, I have to tell you.
Yeah, it's very hard to give up chocolate, and it's very hard to give up coffee, I can tell you. Sorry in advance for anyone who drink that.
Thanks, Liz. I was like,
But the other thing is, it is more challenging to give up time mm-hmm. Caroline, what you were exactly. just talking about, especially yeah. in today's yeah. world. And I know it myself, I'm a very, very, very busy person, and we all are. It's very hard to give up time. But if we added that to our fasting of time, and give that time back to God, then the wonders of Lent are going to be that much better for us as well. Yeah, thanks for that. Lino, what do you think?
Yeah, so let us not grow tired of praying. Yeah, like you guys know, it's trying to find the time, to find the time to pray. But like you said, guys, it doesn't have to be a very, very long prayer, you know? And when we pray and when we reflect, before you know it, time does fly. But then what it is you have spent your time with God, and spending time with God in Lent is so important at the moment. And don't let Lent be an excuse for not praying for later in the year, for most of your life. Don't think you just need to pray in Lent. Yeah? We need to pray constantly.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness Lent is over. I can start praying.
Exactly. Now Lent's over. It's all about, you know, let's have hot cross buns and all the Easter eggs. Oh, chocolate. Here we go. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm back.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, for golly. Oh, awesome. Mm. You know what I mean? Do not let Lent be just that bracket of just we're finding time to pray. Let that be a stepping stone, a foundation for you to do it beyond that throughout the whole years. And let us not grow tired of uprooting evil from our lives. And the one thing that I have to very constantly try to continue is going to confession, you know, trying to find, you know, go to confession during Lent, but not, as I said about Lent, don't be that a foundation. Let confession be a constant thing for you to do it throughout the whole year. And trust me, you guys know, and all Catholics probably know, having confession, it really takes that burden and everything off you. It's on your mind, on your soul, everything that you need to tell the priest and of course God, to take this thing off you. Everything that is not doing well with you, with all the evils, not evil, but what, evil, you know what I mean? Everything off you, that's great. You know, confession with that. And let us not grow up tired of doing good. You know, doing good is a message from God to you that you're doing very well in your life. You know, doing charity towards your neighbors and everything. And talk about charities to your neighbor, I think Jerry and I have done our part on Thursday night. You know, I think that's part of it, you know. Also, I'd like to thank Caroline for the rosaries.
Caroline, yeah, definitely.
You know, all that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, you know, those things, some of them don't have to be big and they don't have to be small. It's, like you said, it's not the, it's more the action and the progression of you doing that to that person, doing that charity, doing that goodwill towards that person, you know. And oh my goodness me, I think we need a lot of that in this world, a lot of it, you know. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm not saying it's there isn't enough, but I think we just need a lot more in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In this world. Imagine if that was what was advertised instead of
exactly
own this, possess that. Imagine if the advertising campaigns were about doing more good. I mean, there's no profit in it in some sense, but who cares? That's not
exactly.
Is it really going to matter? Like, does it? I mean, we need economies and whatever, but we also need good. And
I do really realize, guys, there's some. I don't know if it's the way these charities work. I'm not having a go at them. I'm not saying anything, but they're like, I'll say Salvation Army, all those other charities like St. Vinny's and everything, a lot of their advertising is happening a lot more during Lent on TV than it is on during a normal throughout the whole year. That shows how much TV I watched. That is so sad. But anyway,
it's the tradition of the time, I guess. And also, I mean, if you're going to be one of those charities, the best time is then, because it's expensive, isn't it, to advertise. So if you want to get more bang for your buck, as they say, it's the best time to do it, I guess.
Exactly. I think it should be shown a little bit more, recently more, after Lent as well, of that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of charities, I want to throw in a plug for Project Compassion, which is, you know, we get our little Project Compassion boxes every
box,
you know,
yes.
every year at Mass for Lent.
And we forget it on our fridge.
Yeah, pop on the fridge. Yeah.
I think we're meant to give that up.
Yeah, I'm meant to give that back. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's such a great way, you know, it's such a great charity to support in terms of our almsgiving. In the sense that they don't keep much of the money behind for themselves. And what I love about Project Compassion is it's not just about giving aid. I mean, that's important, right? Giving food, you know, and things like that. But Project Compassion work really hard to support people in other countries to build small businesses, to build sustainable, you know, ways of living and things like that, so that these people can look after themselves rather than becoming dependent on charity, which is such an uplifting thing in terms of human dignity. So if you get a chance to give to Project Compassion or wherever you are around the world, there might be another Catholic outreach that that operates as part of the almsgiving during Lent. Please be generous in your support where you can. I just wanted to finish with a really, really quick one because I can see how time is going and we've got to do some science, Caroline. So so very quickly, I've got a website link here called hello.com. So as in H-A-L-L-O-W, not like hello, no, like hello. And Hello is, it's an app which is dedicated to prayer, so different ways to pray and so on. I think it's a subscription service. I haven't actually used it myself yet, but I've seen lots of people talk about it. However, their website has, it's called like the Complete Guide to Lent for 2022. And it does have this page on things to give up. And again, if you're thinking about the idea of giving up, you're putting one thing out so you can put God in. You're giving that space to God. You're deepening God in your life every year at Lent. So it's got here things that, you know, that kids and teenagers can do, depending on what the age of fasting is in your particular part of the world, because different churches can sometimes have different ages and limits and so on. And it's got things for adults as well. So it's got here fasting ideas, prayer ideas, and giving ideas. So I recommend this. It'll be in our show notes, but it's got some basic things, you know, for kids, for example. Drink only water when you're at school. You know, like, as in, like, don't have soft drinks or whatever. Go without headphones, AirPods for a day. Oh, that's a hard one. for adults, give up coffee or only brew it at home. Yeah. All right. I have heard. Father Corey say. Yeah. In Let's Talk. In years ago, Father Corey said, but yeah, don't give it up if it's going to make you a jerk to other people. So
Like maybe a cheaper coffee or something.
Yeah. Just like
so fancy.
Yeah. Just have Nescafe.
Just so fancy.
Yeah. Instant coffee.
Yeah. Don't go get a nice barista one all the time. Maybe.
Yeah.
Get a Mokona sachet like I do.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
It works.
Which is quite good.
It's good. Yeah. They are. Actually,
yeah. I like
these. They are.
Here's one. It says sleep without a pillow. I reckon that would make me a jerk because
it would make me a jerk.
I slept without a pillow. Go away. Yeah,
I
that
already
might have
got
the wrong...
hardly sleep because of the kids. I can't do it without a pillow.
Yeah. Yeah, but something more authentic. Park in the back of a parking lot and say a prayer as you walk to the shops.
Mm-hmm, that's
so,
good.
Yep, so what it means is park a bit further away from the shops if the weather permits, because we're going to be going into autumn winter soon. But, instead of trying to find the closest spot, find one that's a bit further away and use
let
that
someone
walking
else
time
have
for
it.
Prayer. Yeah, and you're also giving incidentally as well. Abstain from reading gossip and rumor sites. Well, yeah, that's
I don't do that anyway.
Do that forever. You know, there's,
well, should I take it up? Because that would be quite painful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of great suggestions here. I know we joke about them, but
they are really good.
Yeah, but again, why are you doing them? Not because you want to be like, oh, look what I'm giving up. I'm a hero. You know, it's
we're not supposed to make a big deal of it to everyone
either. That's right,
either.
Correct, yeah.
You
that's
know,
right. So I'm
it's
doing
between
this for
you and God, Yeah,
it's like, that's God, I love you, and I just want to make some more space in my heart every year so that I can deepen my relationship with you more and more as I go along. Yep. So, with that in mind, again, if anyone else who's listening has some suggestions for Lent, reflections, anything like that, like I said, please share them with us because we would love to have a look and share them with our listeners as well as we move into this season. Caroline, it's your turn. It's time for us to do some science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
Science, 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 science.
favorites.
All right, Caroline. So today your topic is about how COVID-19 vaccine antibodies improving quality over time after being vaccinated. Now, you can tell us if that's true or not because you just had your third jab and you have a very sore arm. So, Caroline, how are you feeling? Are you feeling more like you've got more effective antibodies now?
Well, I sure hope they are more effective down the track. Yeah. Wow. I can definitely tell you there's an immune response that's been sparked in my body right now.
Oh, yes.
Goodness
me. I can feel it. But, you know, it's good to talk about these things and it's good to kind of understand a little bit what's going on in your body. It's quite interesting as well. I thought this article was interesting, so I thought I'll share it with you today. So, a study was performed by researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis to study antibody response in patients over time after receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Now, these people haven't been infected by the SARS-CoV-2 virus in the past, so the response is purely to the spike protein that is introduced by the Pfizer vaccine. It was already understood by immunologists that antibodies quality can increase over time in animals, but this study is the first to track antibody maturation in humans. The study found that even though the initial quantity of antibodies made by the body after being triggered by the vaccine does reduce over time, so how many times have they told us in the news or, you know, the medical professionals, oh, your antibodies reduce over time? Well, it turns out the quality of the antibodies actually increases.
That's good news.
Oh, yeah. It's good news. So here's a little bit of background because, you know, I always like to give you a bit more information about what we're speaking about. So what exactly is an antibody? So an antibody is a little Y-shaped protein that circulates in your body to search for foreign invaders, microscopic invaders, just to be quite clear. They lock onto an antigen and they also elicit an immune response that's triggered in the body to stop an invasion. In this case, it's the SARS-CoV-2 virus, or the little proteins anyway, that have been injected into your body. So the arms on the little Y-shape antibody binds to the antigen, and the body of the Y binds to one of the many immune compounds in the body's arsenal ready to mobilize and destroy anything that wants to invade. And it is like a little war in your body.
Yeah, it
really is. It's quite fascinating. So where do antibodies come from? So antibodies are created or secreted by B cells. So B cells are one of the immune cells in your body. A B cell is a type of white blood cell that forms in the bone marrow. There are about 1 trillion B cells in the body.
Wow.
And
wow.
Each one creates an antibody that binds to one specific antigen. So they're really diverse. The variation in B cells allows the body to recognize almost any substance that enters into your body. This part's interesting. Genes inside the B cell that code for antibody binding actually shuffle around, and this rearrangement allows for a huge diversity of antibody to antigen recognition. So that's how you go, oh, how does it know? Well, actually, there's a lot of rearranging that goes on. So by chance, you'll actually be able to lock onto an antigen and fight off something that's in your body. So the way that B cells work is that they patrol the body and they like to hang out mostly in your lymph nodes or in your tonsils. That's why it's good to keep your tonsils if you can. If you can't, that's okay.
Yeah.
but that's why your tonsils flare up, because there's actually a bit of an immune response going on.
Yes, yeah.
Now, when something foreign triggers a B cell to be active, it grows in size and starts to divide by a process called clonal expansion, making many, many, many copies of itself. The B cells then further differentiate into plasma cells, and they are little antibody factories. They make all these little antibodies, and they make about 10,000 antibodies per plasma cell per second.
Wow.
So this is a big response.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Oh, that was really, whoa.
And this can occur from weeks to even up to years. So let's go back to the study. So now we've got a bit of background. So blood cells, blood samples, sorry, were collected from 42 participants, lymph node samples from 15 participants, and bone marrow samples from 11 very, very brave participants. Not very easy to get a bone marrow sample.
Yes. Yeah,
so good on these people for doing that.
Goodness me, wow.
Samples were taken before the participants received their first dose of the vaccine and then at regular intervals following the dose of the vaccine. And then less often, obviously, for those offering up a bone marrow sample. 8 people were able to give all 3 kinds of samples. So they were able to study this in all three samples in 8 people. Researchers found that the B cells that targeted the SARS-CoV-2 virus persisted in germinal centers for up to 6 months in a person's body. What's a germinal center? They're in the lymph nodes, and it's a place where B cells are actually trained, like in a boot camp. where better quality antibodies are made.
T cells fall in.
That's it. So the more time the B cells spend in the germinal centres, the stronger the antibodies become.
Mm.
Yeah. So previously it was thought that the germinal centres only last for a few weeks, but it seems that they're still training B cells several months later.
Oh, wow.
Ella Betty, one of the researchers, said that was an indication of a strong antibody response that continued to mature and improve. And on the side note too, the reason why the body decreases the amount of antibodies in the body, you know, when it's got this first initial response, is that it switches to producing a smaller amount of the antibodies and really concentrates on making the stronger antibodies, like better quality rather than quantity. So in conclusion, the study was that when looking at antibodies, it's not the quantity but the quality it's important. And the researcher already said that when you look at antibodies, quantity should not be your only concern. The antibodies at 6 months might be less in quantity, as we've been told many times, your antibody level drops, but they are much better in quality. And that refinement of the antibody response happens on its own. You get your shot, maybe your arm hurts for a day or several.
Or three,
and then,
yep.
And then you forget about it. But 6 months later, your germinal cells are still ongoing and your antibodies are still getting better and better. So it's a great idea to get your vaccine because it does give you a very, very good protection against the virus. However, there is a drawback. And it's that the vaccine is, you know, the original vaccine anyway, was designed for one variant of the virus. And if another variant comes along that's different enough from the original, then it might be able to escape detection. And the antibodies in the system haven't been trained for this particular virus. So, I mean, we have heard that companies such as Pfizer and BioNTech have been working on different variants, different vaccines to keep up with variants. And let's hopefully, you know, they'll be able to do that because now I guess the world's more open too now. So there'll be many more variants coming along. So,
yes, yeah.
But, you know, getting vaccinated does offer some protection as we all found out at the beginning of the year.
Yes, we did.
We got pretty unwell for about a week or so, but we did make it through. I mean, the vaccine does only really trigger one kind of response, and if you get an actual infection, it does trigger a whole lot more of a response. But you do kind of, if you're not vaccinated, you do kind of risk getting quite ill or even unfortunately passing away. So it is better to get a vaccine so you have some protection to get you through the virus when you get through the infection when you do get unwell. So yeah, there you go, some food for thought right there for you.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. So I guess it's, yeah, like you're saying, that message about getting your vaccine is important. So I think when you're talking about the different variants, my understanding, I think, was that Pfizer was working on a vaccine or a version of the vaccine that was more effective against the Omicron variant.
Yeah, I heard which, about that too.
Yeah, which I'm assuming is probably what you and I and those around us got. Yeah. I'm assuming it's Omicron. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't test it. But going by the fact that it was prevalent everywhere at the time and more infectious than Delta.
It was very, very infectious.
Yeah,
sure.
Which is probably why it had a bit more of its way with us than, say, if it was a different variant. Yeah.
But, you know, we still managed to get through. It was enough protection for us to get well again. So
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you can answer this question, because I know that when you get the virus, so we've had Omicron, our body, because it's fought it off, is now producing these antibodies that fight off Omicron as well. Is there any sort of like relationship mixture between what the vaccine does for your body, I hope I'm asking this right, and what the actual virus does? Like, do they like communicate and go, hey, make these ones too? Or is it sort of an independent thing?
So what would have happened is we've got the vaccine for, I'm assuming it was for Delta. Is that correct? And then so, if Delta came along and, you know, got you, the body would go, oh, yeah, I know you, immediate protection.
I've heard about you.
And then Omicron comes along and it's slightly different. The body might go, hang on, I kind of know you, but I don't know you that well.
Ah, okay.
And the body's going to go, oh, you're really sick now. But
I've met you at work, but we've never hung out before.
Exactly. But what happens now is that you've got the vaccine produced B cells, but now you've also got the Omicron produced B cells as well. So if Omicron comes along again, we'll either not feel it or just get a little bit unwell, and we'll be able to recover from it a lot better. But like I said before, if you don't get vaccinated at all, you're at risk of becoming seriously unwell. And we've seen that unfortunately, with people who've passed away and have become very unwell.
And it's usually no small number of people who have passed away, sadly,
it's quite
as well.
A lot. So,
it's the most heartbreaking part of it, yeah.
A lot of those people have not been vaccinated. Some not their fault, you know, just some, and some people who don't want the vaccine. A lot of people can make it through. That's fine, you know. Some people don't feel it, but you do have that risk of being unprotected and getting very unwell. So,
exactly.
It's better to have some protection than none. Yeah. So we're quite well protected now. I mean, that's pending no other, you know, very different variant comes along.
Of course.
Otherwise, we have to go through it all over again.
Just to change the topic slightly, and Lino, Lino and I, if you remember, Caroline, we did a science segment in your absence in our first episode this year. Now,
I think we did our best.
Yeah. Now, I need to correct the record, because some further news in the developing story of the SpaceX booster, the Rogue booster, which is floating around in space from 2000 and I think it was 15 or 17, whatever it was. You've probably all heard about how it's going to collide with the moon at some point in March. It might even happen by the time this episode comes out. I'm not sure. So, turns out, it wasn't a SpaceX booster. It was a booster from a Chinese rocket. So
another one. Didn't they already have one fling into Earth a little while ago?
Earth. Yeah, they're kind of a bit cowboy about where their boosters go. I'll put a link from the same website. It was space.com. I'll see if I can find a link and put it in the show notes. But they had originally assumed it was a SpaceX booster by the way they calculated it, and then they had a look and said, oh, actually, it's not that one. It's this one. That was from a Chinese heavy lift, so you're obviously lifting something quite important, like quite big. And so the booster sort of went for a bit of a float for a while, and now it's coming back to the moon. It's going to stay there. So, yeah, so that's happening. And like I said, it's probably just going to be a thunk than anything else. Yeah.
Poor man.
Yeah. But, you know, now they have some raw materials on the moon to use for something else.
True. Oh, I mean, true. If you get stuck there, you can make... Yeah. Something.
Build a shelter.
It's easy to do that. Yeah.
Space shelter down there. Yep. Why not?
All right. And this is why you should do the science segment, Caroline.
Agreed. Yeah. All
right. Okay. So let's move on and talk about some things that have been entertaining us.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.
This is not what we came here to do.
No, it's what I'm going to do.
I have a plan. You've got a plan. I have part of a plan.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
All right, so with a couple of minutes left in the show, Lena, I'm going to throw over to you. Now, we know Lent is coming up and we're talking about entertainment.
Oh,
and
no.
Here, right?
I know.
So
maybe
I should say,
Lena,
what are the things that you've watched that you're now going to give up for Lent?
Give up.
Yeah.
Totally,
however,
totally.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things that you've been watching in recent weeks, Lena. So why don't you start with the F1 documentary on Netflix?
Well, yeah, like Lindsay said this morning, we're going to have a 9 o'clock starter for our podcast. And I said, my brain is so fried because I've been watching 5 straight episodes of the F1 documentary on Netflix.
You were binge watching, weren't you, Lito?
Well, and then later on, I found out that I was watching season 3, which I haven't finished season 1.
I'm
thinking, has my account been hacked? Anyway, but it's been with people watching episodes before me. But yeah, look, this is a good series. Look, you'd have to be interested in racing or F1 racing. This is more about the backstory and what's happening in the background and behind the scenes of how F1 is made and all the drivers and the family, well, not particularly the families, but how they go through all the stages and stuff and what's going on. And it's funny, the 5 episodes I was watching, it should have clicked to me. It should have clicked to me that I'm missing two seasons because they're talking about coronavirus, and I went, okay, I'm up to that season. And I watched so much, but I'm up to the season where they had to Melbourne, the Melbourne one. Remember the
That's
Melbourne
right.
one?
Yeah,
had
the
to
Melbourne
be
stopped. It was
within
4 days. Didn't happen. Yeah,
within 4 days, and yes. Then all of a sudden it was cancelled because apparently one of the drivers or whichever, one of the team members caught...
It was the Italian team. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was spreading through. Because remember, COVID was really bad in Italy at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. And it was the Italian team apparently that had come here and their team was spreading it.
Not spreading it
to the community, but was spreading amongst themselves.
Within the team. So
yes, that's right. Yeah.
That should have given me a click that I've like 2 seasons too far ahead.
Yeah.
And I think, wait a minute, I'm going to go back. Because I was watching about Daniel Ricciardo's start of the season. But look, besides that, you don't have to be an F1 fanatic or interested in it. It's just the way that's been done because... It was done by The Last Dance, so that was about the Chicago Bulls.
Yep, Chicago Bulls.
What was
yeah.
the one? I'm always forgetting this, Lindsay. The one you watched about SpaceX.
The Inspiration 4 mission. Yeah.
Yes. Those are from some same makers.
Okay,
so
yeah.
If you like those producers and all that, this is a good series to watch. I just love watching because of course what's going on inside, and also watching the cars go like 200 k's an hour in the cockpit.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And it is scary. That's probably why I didn't get a lot of sleep, guys. Like I was telling you in the messaging, because everything just went so fast in my brain and in my dream, and I didn't have a good sleep. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Watch but, something more calming before bed.
I think I should have. Yeah, I think I should have. Caroline, I thought this would be a good show just to watch all the things going on. But no.
Pretty intense.
And of course, Bernie's always right. You know, she tells me, can we watch something calming before we go to bed?
She's right. Yeah.
She's right. She says that. Live and learn, guys. Live and learn.
Yeah. Can we watch something calming? And Lena goes, no, I got the need.
Need
for speed.
So
now, highway to the danger zone is going through my head. Sorry, keep going.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah. Sorry, go.
The other one is a series called Reacher on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So this is based on the books by Lee Child. I want to read the book. I'm really interested in this because it's about a guy who goes to towns and figures out problems. And also, I like the idea of this story is it's like the good old Western days, guys, yeah? When you got a drifter going into a town and it sorts the problems and he goes to another town and another town and it just sorts out problems.
Yeah.
So, and then one guy at work did point out a good thing about the series is this Reacher guy, he is too good. It just seems he doesn't make any mistakes. And I'm thinking, how can a hero make, I don't know, it just seemed so good. The guy does make mistakes. He knows what is going to happen, and that happened. I go, how did he do that? It's like, oh, I don't know. It's just, he's just too much of a good guy. He knows what's going to happen beforehand. Well, I don't know. It would just seem so weird. But yeah, but it's a good series. The actors, the production, yeah, it's a good series, guys. If you watch, once again, it's not much good for the kids. I'm gonna find a show that's good for the kids to watch with, like a family show. Family
Camp show. Cretaceous on Netflix.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good
Pokemon.
One. Yes, Pokemon's good. Yes, I need to watch that too.
I caught a Bulbasaur again.
Time for the next tournament. Let's go see the professor. Anyway, I've watched too many.
Oh, no, so good.
Team Rocket, sorry.
Team Rocket. Oh, that's bringing back memories. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then the last one was Space Force. So Space Force has come back.
Season two.
It didn't happen last year, hey, Caroline. Did it bring
was
it out last year?
Was it? Was it?
I thought
before?
It was last year. I don't
was
know.
Was it? You know, the last 2 years have gone away.
COVID has just been 1 year. I have no idea. COVID has been one long year, really.
I think so. I'm thinking, when does Space Force go? Yeah. Oh, goodness me, they come back.
I just
back,
now have been
goodness.
Waiting for the second season. And when you said, sweet. Oh, it's on, I'm like, oh, yes. And I watched the first few that's episodes right. as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right. Yep, yeah, it's back again. Sadly, I forgot what happened to the last episode. I think they were about to get shut down, was it, Caroline? But something happened, and then the first
episode
was
about investigation.
The investigation, guys, is so funny.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. And then,
I'll have to watch it. I haven't started it yet. Yeah.
And no, you've got to, Lindsay. You have to.
You love it. You love it. Yeah. So that's been us entertaining. Oh, we finished The Witcher. Wow. We talk about binging. We binged that. I didn't realize it was only eight episodes, and we only watched it 3 days.
Yeah.
For Kennedy.
Is this with Henry Cavill, Superman?
He is. Guys, as a nerdy mention, he likes Warhammer 40K.
Oh,
so
wow.
So for all the guys who are listening, Warhammer 40K is miniature tabletop gaming. There was something on Warhammer website, and it was him playing give it to us, all the people who say, hey, you're playing a nerdy here. You're playing with little toys on the table. Yeah, whatever. Okay, just settle down or you Twitch
you
guys.
Don't understand. And you just don't understand me.
It's real.
Yeah.
And I think he that to Caroline, he even was playing with the Lord of the Rings stuff too.
Whoa.
So he was doing both sides. And it's strange seeing him doing that in a sense. And then you watch him playing The Witcher or Superman. Or other stuff, but it just shows that he's passionate about his hobby, and he's interested in. He's not one of those, fake celebrities. Like, oh yeah, I like this. I'll just do this for a promotion. I'll do this for money. But he generally is a nerd. He loves it. He's a geek, and you just see this big guy walking around. Okay. He likes it. But yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Lino, one day we'll have to take a photo of your cabinet with all your Warhammer 40,000 figures and show everyone. We'll have to put that on our Facebook page.
I know. I was a bit nerdy. I've got like LED lights. I can make it look like a disco. And all those little guys dancing around.
I'll talk about my one really quickly, and then Caroline, I'll throw it to you because mine's a quick one. So I was really into the Australian Open tennis this year. Go Ash Barty!
And I was
enjoying it.
She is the goat. She is. Oh wow!
Is there like a tennis app? You know, like game I can play on my phone. So I was looking around and I found one that I sold on. It's called Tennis Clash. And again, Lent is coming up, so got to be careful here. However, it is super addictive. So you play tennis against real people on the app, and you know you upgrade your player and whatever else. Unfortunately, it's got a lot of like pay money to get this mini gems, and which I ignore completely. Yeah, because it's free.
The
thing. The thing is, there are no ads, which is good, unless they offer you free coins and you have to watch an ad. But thankfully, the ads are not in truth. Is like when you win a level and then there's an ad or whatever that pops up.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's not like that. So you can play it for free, which is good. And you know when you're playing against someone who's not playing it for free because suddenly you go up against a really powerful player. it's fun. I enjoy just like trying to hit the ball and come up with new strategies to try and beat other people. And it's good because you can move around, you can tap the screen to move around a little bit. You have to swipe with your finger to sort of set up how much power in the angle that you're going to hit. And it's sort of very accurate with that, because it's you can hit the ball out very, very easily. So you've got to be really precise with your swipes. So I'm enjoying
swipe here.
That's right. But I'm enjoying Tennis Clash. So that's my recommendation for a fun little time waster. And Caroline, tell us about yours.
So I have also been watching Space Force, loving it, makes me laugh. It's really funny. I just love the way they think. I just love that kind of silly comedy.
It's so good.
It's great. And, you know, mix it with space and I'm all there, you know.
Space comedy always works. Good.
I just want to know, like, what it's like at actual real Space Force and and how, you know, behind the scenes in NASA when they're not being all smiley and chirpy and happy all the time, like, you know, I want to know what's really going on.
High pressure,
And we've been re-watching Arrested Development, which is now on Disney Plus. So they've got definitely seasons 1 to 3 on there. We've gone through season 1, starting season 2 again. I watched season 1 ages ago, and it's just got so many classic lines in it that, you know, we quote in our family. It's just so hilarious. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, if you're going to watch it with kids, you do need to have, you know, make sure you're got the button, you know, because sometimes there's a bit of a theme or something, that, you know, that you may not want them to watch. Older kids, it's okay, I guess, because, you know, they understand things and, you know, but it's funny. It's very funny. Pretty witty comedy, very funny comedy.
Cool.
And
is this the one, sorry to interrupt, is this the one they brought the actors back and did new seasons?
More seasons. Yeah, they have done more seasons.
Because I keep hearing about it, but I've never seen it. I don't even know what it's about. So I'll have to try.
It's very funny. Yeah. I won't spoil it. You just go watch it. It's worth it. It's funny. If you enjoy just plain funny, silly, you know, silly comedy.
I do.
You know, that's our sense of humor in this family anyway. So just silly comedy. Yeah. Like, to the point where we've seen, you know, like the Tim and Eric show. Like, that's how silly our comedy can get. Our sense of humor, I should say. And if you've seen Tim and Eric, you know what I'm talking about. And I guess, my nerdy, you know, entertainment is me watching documentaries during the week on YouTube. And I've been indulging, as I've mentioned before, watching YouTube videos about ancient civilizations and how they keep taking each other over and wrecking their city, making a new city, installing a king over here, having big, you know, conquering everything. And this was triggered off by reading the Old Testament. The Babylonians, all of those. So
cool.
Syrians, yep.
The Assyrians, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Egyptians are even in there. It's just that whole region has a very, 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 very rich history. And they were extremely civilized. You know, people say, they have no technology. They just lived in tents or caves or no, not true. I mean,
they
we
weren't
all know,
stupid. No, no, no.
No,
no
we all know weren't. About the Egyptian civilization, but there were other civilizations which were equally, if not better, technology-wise and definitely militarily, you know.
Yes,
they were brutal, though, I have to say, brutal, like totally brutal. So that's why Jesus needed to come and sort it all out because it was getting bad.
Love thy neighbor, please.
That's right.
Love thy neighbor.
And hopefully with things happening at the moment, it doesn't end up that way again. Mm-hmm. But
yes, of course.
Yes, but it gives you an insight into, you know, human nature. If you let it go, we'll go back to what it was. So let's just embrace Lent and, that's my wrap-up for the show.
Yeah.
Understand.
I'll just do a quick plug because Star Trek Picard Season 2 is almost upon us. In fact, when this episode comes out, the first episode would have shown already. And I'm getting a bit excited because I really loved the first season. But a quick plug for Secrets of Star Trek, because they're going to be discussing as well. So if you're a Star Trek fan and you're planning on watching Star Trek Picard, don't forget to add the Secrets of Star Trek podcast to your podcast listening, because they're going to they always do a fun analysis. And I love the banter between the three of them as well, because it's a combination of analysis, but also humor. And just some fun sitting down with some other Star Trek nerds. Yes, I called you all that. to hear them talk about it. It's a lot of fun. It's never too serious. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It always focuses on the fun, but also goes in some of the themes and the context and the ideas. So I love the work that that Dom and Father Corey and Jimmy A can do in unpacking Star Trek episodes. So if you're a Star Trek fan, get that one onto your podcast lineup. You will not be disappointed.
I just hope, Lindsay, yep, and guys, that Picard doesn't go to Paramount Plus like Discovery did.
No, Lino, it's going to Paramount Plus. Sorry. It's all, yeah, it's all going to Paramount Plus.
Okay.
No one can see this, but Lino's head just went.
But my head just went.
Yeah. Yeah. Lino just, yeah. Anyway,
All
Star Trek will be on Paramount.
Oh my goodness, me. Oh, sorry. I have to say, I have to apologize to Bernie, and Bernie will go, what?
Where's all our money going?
I know. Well, not money, but she's just got into watching Star Trek to Origins. And I go, okay.
Okay.
Whoops. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
There's a conversation.
Okay. That's a conversation we're going to have later on. Okay. Alrighty. Pray for me.
We'll understand if you're missing for our next episode.
Morpheus Wrath? Yeah, we probably will be.
All right, so before we go, we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows on StarQuest. Today, we would love to thank Father Jonathan S., Kira M., Sabra L., Julia K., and Martin R. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the shows on StarQuest to continue. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. Also, we'd like to know what your thoughts about today's episode. So tell us about Lent and about Pfizer vaccines and immunity and the TV shows you've been watching and won't be watching over the next few weeks because of Lent. You can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/Oz, spelt O-Z, where you can find our show notes as well. And while you're on the SQPN website, you can sign up to the Insiders Club newsletter to get updates about your favorite shows. That's at sqpn.com/about/newsletter. You can also find out about our shows and more on SQPN's Facebook page, facebook.com/darkwestmedia, or Twitter at SQPN. Also, we have a Catholics of Oz Facebook page at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. Come and join us and talk about our latest episodes there. We can also be reached by good old email at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you both. It was good to be with the three team again.
Yes, get everyone back together. The three team. We need t-shirts that say that.
Yes, we do.
And Lino, thank you so much for being on as part of the three team today.
It's good to be back, guys. Yeah, once again, thanks Paramount Plus. Goodness me. You're Star Trek going over there now. Oh, we're not an extra streaming service. Yes, you are. Thank you. That's my rant for today.
Yep.
God bless everyone.
That little
pantomime,
you didn't sound bitter at all. And God bless once everyone. Again, I'm Lindsay Stant. Thank you so much for listening to episode 73 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.